All right, let's continue from where we stopped last time. I just want to explain something to us briefly. It's our school of prayer once again today. Last time we did a lot of talking about the fact that we have to pray all the time. And I was trying to emphasize to us again that every aspect of life we have to handle with a matter of prayer. And you see, God answers prayers in different ways. And I think I need to emphasize that again. And for me, one of the most striking ways by which he answers prayers is by the impartation of wisdom. What did I call it? Impartation of wisdom. You know, today something struck me as I was listening in my car, that the Bible says that, you know, God said to Isaiah, he said that, go and say to these people, hear and do not understand, see and do not perceive. He was explaining some things to them. He said to him, he said, if you don't do that, there's a chance that they may understand, and then they will turn, and then they will be healed. Do you follow that point? Now, let me just see that. Where I say that again, just to emphasize. Okay, that's in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 6. He said, okay, from verse 9. He now said in verse 10, or let's start from verse 9 again. He said, go and tell these people, keep on listening and do not perceive. Keep on looking, do not understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive. Their ears dull. That is, by your prophesying, what you will do is to make sure that you will create insensitivity in them and that their eyes dim. He said, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Now, something struck me as I heard that again today. It was playing on tape. That, you know, God does not desire that anybody should perish, but that everybody should come to what? To repentance. I was reading that something struck me. That I said, lest they return and be healed. And the version of the Bible I was listening to said, lest they turn and they are healed. Now, this was what struck me about it. I began to doubt in my mind. I don't think God was saying that he didn't want them to repent. Do you understand my point? I think what he was saying is that there is a way. Bible says that the way of peace they know not. That is, there is a way that leads to peace. What that means simply is that there is a way that people will walk and it will produce peace in their lives. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that there are proper things to do, which is different from just a matter of sin and iniquity now. That is, if a man is a wicked man and God wants to, how do I say it? There is a way he will still do things, all right? There are proper things he will do that will make his house happy. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain, all right? As different from the area in which judgment for his wickedness is going to come. What I mean is this. If God wants to destroy that man, his destruction comes, one of the major ways it comes, which is Isaiah was saying, is that God will remove the ability to perceive what is going on. Do you understand? All right? From him. For example, maybe Isaiah is prophesying that Jesus was telling disciples, when you see the mountain, the armies begin to gather around Jerusalem, then know that her desolation is near. Now, everybody that will be destroyed there will be because of his sin and because of his iniquity. But anybody that's inside that place will be destroyed. So what God did was to preserve his own people that he didn't want to judge. He gave them the ability to understand how to recognize when destruction will come. Do you understand my point? And then they will obey that word and then they will be delivered. So what God was saying is simple. That he said to Isaiah, go and render the ears of these people dull. He was saying that because I want to judge them, all right, they will see the armies gather around Jerusalem, but they will not run because they don't understand the implication of the armies gathering around Jerusalem. He wasn't telling Isaiah that I don't want them to repent at all. If they had the ability to repent, they could go ahead and repent. But what he was saying is that the warning that's coming, they won't understand it. They will see calamity about to descend, and they will still be rejoicing. You will see, in fact, you know, this funny thing about Hurricane Katrina. I don't know how many of you remember Hurricane Katrina a few years ago, that drowned people in New Orleans, flooded the whole city, drowned the whole city. All right, till now they have not fully recovered. I watched documentaries about the whole thing. The night before the judgment, so people were still partying. That let's party, Joe. Tomorrow we may be underwater. I don't know. So I'm going to explain. That is, they understood something. They knew that this place could drown. But they didn't understand that they could run. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm explaining. They understood, and they were there because one of the most licentious cities on the earth, all right? That's New Orleans. It's one of the most licentious cities on this earth today. As of today, New Orleans is a horrible place, all right? There's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of immorality. There's a lot of all kinds of evil in that place. Now, judgment, look, forget it. It was judgment. Judgment was coming, and they were dancing about it. Now, what I hear say, flood, if you come, now we will party the whole night. It may be our last party. You know what has happened? The ability to understand judgment was removed from them. Do you follow the point I'm going to make? All right? In fact, if you go and read that book of Revelations, I was going through the book the other time, and I noticed something that, you see, they said that judgment will come, there will be destruction on the earth, the people will still not repent. And I said, why? You know the reason? Because God didn't give them the ability to connect the judgment with their iniquity. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. That is the issue, is that they wouldn't have the ability to connect what is going on. And it's happening today in the world. The other day, you know, I was listening to one of the messages we preached then. And, you know, HIV is there. AIDS is there. It's a serious problem till today. What's his name? This Candle in the Wind guy. Elton John. You know, Elton John, I just heard one of those messages I preached a few years ago. We're editing for radio again. And I heard myself say it. Elton John, I was watching him on TV that time. And he was angry with George Bush. Why was he angry with George Bush? He was president that time. All right? That the interview was granted. That George Bush was supporting, George Bush Jr. was supporting programs that promoted abstinence. Do you understand me? And he said, it's not right. Because abstinence does not work. And I laughed. How will he know whether it works or not? He's a homosexual. How will he know whether it works or not? He doesn't believe in God. How will he know whether it works or not? And so he was saying, in effect, this is the effect of it. The AIDS epidemic, the HIV epidemic, has nothing to do with promiscuity. It is not judgment for our sins. It is our lack of condoms. Do you understand? He said that why should George W. Bush be putting money into programs that promote abstinence? That's a waste of money. What am I saying all of these things? The issue is that the ability to connect the judgment to the iniquity has been removed. Therefore, men will persist in their iniquity. Therefore, more troubles, that is, their problems that started their troubles, more troubles will come upon them because of more judgment and because of more iniquity that they are persisting in. I'm bringing an issue here. So you see, when God wants to bless somebody, that's why I don't know why I had to explain it for that long. When God wants to bless you, the major thing he gives you is wisdom. He helps you connect. Listen, if you're having financial trouble, my experience in life as of today is that most people that have financial troubles, their problem is lack of wisdom. Most. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, you need this thing. Buy it. He said, I don't have money. I said, at your level in life, you see, your problem, let me paraphrase everything we said. I said, your problem is that you don't have financial sense. Yes, I told him straight. I said, you don't know how to manage your money. Let me give an example. You tell a man, let's say, buy a coat, you need to wear a jacket. And he says, no, I can't. Why? I'm planning to buy a car. I said, how can you not buy a coat because you're planning to buy a car? Please, I won't sit on that. What I just want to bring out is that you find that most of the time, what people lack is what? Wisdom. We were talking last time about praying all the time, and I'm emphasizing to you again, one major way by which God answers prayers is through the impartation of what? Wisdom. And I just showed us that a lot of people who are under judgment, one thing God takes away from them, first of all, is wisdom. They see things, they don't understand what is going on. They will see the cause of their problems, they will not be able to tie it, all right, with the problems. So they will persist in doing that which is bad. Meanwhile, that is the thing that is causing their problem, and they are praying every day. So if you pray about every problem in life, that's what I was going to say last time, don't ever think something is too small for the Lord to handle. No. There's nothing like that. Every little bit of issue that comes across your way, what do? You pray about it. And that's one of the ways by which we pray continually. That's one of the ways by which we do what? Pray continually. If your car, in fact, the other day happened again, after I finished preaching the message here, had an issue when I got home with my wife's car. She was not around, so I wanted to help her fix a few things before she came. So I explained to the mechanic, this is what the issue is. By the time he said, okay, I'll do this, the whole problem will be gone. And when he finished doing that, the problem did not go. Another problem showed up. And he's a very intelligent mechanic, a man who I respect his ability so much. So now said, oh, okay, that it was now night. So, all right, I should bring the car back. And he will fix that new problem that arose. Do you understand? And then this is now the major way he will solve the new problem. He said that one, he will need a day and a half to offload the whole dashboard of the car to solve a small problem. Just that the small problem he wants to solve is hidden somewhere deep. It's very small. But, I looked at the car. I respect the guy a lot anyway. If he dismantles the car, he will couple it back and nothing spoil. But if it's an average mechanic, I'll say, leave the car like that. Don't worry. We'll go to the driver and so. But when I got home that day, I said, no, my father in heaven, I don't want this guy to go through this on this car. I just don't like the idea of dismantling the vehicle. So I prayed. I thought it, you understand? I believe it, so I applied it. I just simply lay down on my bed and I said, Lord, about this car, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, please, no dismantling, no problem. Solve this issue the smallest and easiest and most possible way. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then what happened was that I woke up next day to start the car. If I saw him today, and I said, okay, what about that? He told me to bring the car back to solve that problem that arose after he tackles the car, trying to solve something. I told him that, no, next day when I woke up, I started the car, and that one vanished. All right? Whether an angel went there and corrected it, or the wisdom to just relax and wait for the vacuum to be regenerated, I don't know. But I was glad that one was solved. As I began to drive the car, I noticed something else. The other downloading of the whole dashboard, I drove to him today. I said, listen, I don't think that thing will be necessary. He said, why do I think so? I suddenly had the wisdom. I said, no, I think this is what the problem will be. So he and I discussed it. And he said, yes, he thinks I'm right. So we don't have to offload the dashboard again. He said, that wouldn't be necessary. What do we do? It's a small thing he will do. When I have time, I should please bring the car back. And that will be the end of it. I just asked him a few questions around. He said, no, it's not a problem. That will be fixed in a few minutes. It is because sometimes these cars are parked for long. He's a smart guy. I'm trying to bring an issue here. When it came to fixing the car, I prayed about it. How many of us bother to pray about the problems with our cars? Let me tell you about your health. Before you run to the doctor, pray. You know I'm a doctor. You know I'm a doctor. How many of you know? If you know, say amen. Amen. All right, if you don't know, don't worry. I know, now I've told you. You know why I'm saying so? I think human beings have too much trust in my profession. We are not worthy of half of that trust. Did I say half? Maybe I meant 25%. Why people trust us so much is because of hopelessness. They don't know where else to go. If they know the depth, and don't forget, I'm a specialist. I work amongst specialists. So I wonder what people go through when they meet all these half-baked ignoramuses that they call doctors on the road. Yes. Real ones, I don't mean fake doctors. But when you are not a specialist, there are a lot of things you don't know. I work among specialists and I understand the depth of ignorance and the volume of mistakes that we make. Many women that have encountered their breasts removed for nothing. Just that the doctor smoked before he wrote the report. Yes, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about it. You make a legitimate mistake, the other doctors think, and I'm telling you, people have had unnecessary surgeries. Not because the doctor is a wicked soul, but because he doesn't know more than that. Because he's but what? Flesh. That's why the Bible says, cursed is a man who trusts in the doctor. I'm not saying see the doctor on the road tomorrow and begin to abuse the guy. The guy is, you know, he's a country of the blind. He's a world of sick and ignorant people. They have the one-eyed man amongst them is the doctor. Amen? I'm just trying to say, don't put all your faith and don't put all your trust in him. He's not as good as you say. I don't mean Nigerian doctors. I mean doctors generally. Whether you are from Malawi, Nigeria, Australia, North America, they are all the same thing. Let me give you an example. I was teaching students today. I said, listen, before, they said that once you hit the age of, is it 40 or 50? I can't even remember. Because it doesn't matter now whether I remember or I don't, because they've said it's a lie now. They said once you hit the age of 40 or 50 as a man, you should go and check your PSA level every year. PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. When it is elevated, if it's high, they are trying to check for whether you have prostate cancer because it's the number one cancer in men. And the older you get, the more likely you are to get it. All right? When you're about to enter middle age, you're supposed to go every year or periodically and check. And it's a small test. They take blood from you. They run a test in the lab. If your test, your result is high, then the doctor will say, it's high. So we'll now go and look into your prostate to see whether there's cancer forming. Do you know the man who invented the test? All right? In the 70s. As of last year, he said it has been the most colossal waste of funds ever in medical practice. As of last year, he said the test is not better than tossing a coin. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard what I said. That the man said, instead of running this test, just come, let them just toss a coin, head or tail, you have prostate cancer. If the coin says head, then you have. If it says tail, yeah, you don't have. He said that is the amount of effect it has. This is the man who invented it. The conclusion now is that it has caused more problems than it ever solved. If you heard of mammography, how many of you have heard of mammography? Women should go have your breast scan so that the debate is still on whether it makes any difference. There is no statistical evidence to prove it helps anybody. That is, half of the medical profession believe that it's a waste of time and a waste of money. The other half say that it's better than nothing. Some people say, no, it's worse than nothing. For example, when it comes to that PSA thing, the teaching now as from last year is that it's worse than nothing. That it's better to get your prostate cancer, let them treat it, than go looking for it when it has not disturbed you. Cost is the man who trusts in flesh. I was teaching my students today. I said, look, I didn't go to church. I said, it's better to go to church. I'm not saying talking about people. That is, they help you. They help you very well a lot of times. But I'm just saying that before you put your faith there, let the doctor be a way by which God solves problems for you. But that guy must not be the source of solution. Are you getting my point? For example, like you go and see, when Isaiah was sick, all right, after he prayed, when they say put your house in order, all right, because you will die and not live, then he prayed. Then the prophet went back and gave him the prophecy and all of that. At the end of the day, now said, let them make a cake of fig. How did he say it again? And then let them apply it over the wound. That is, the man was sick, was going to die. The herbs, because they now use the herbs to treat the illness, and he was cured. But you know that the herbal treatment was not the cure. It was a way by which he connected with the cure that God had already determined for him. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, in life, if it is scattered that's disturbing you, before you rule it out, say, don't worry, just take vitamin C, it will be okay. Oh boy. Now, so some wahala, the taste that too. I don't know whether I get my point. Speak the word to it. That's what I'm saying. That is everything in life. That's one of the things we must learn as believers. I said, I was talking about last time, I actually want to go into something, picking up from that today. I just wanted to connect it. All right? Everything in life is God that for us believers, it's a solution that we are getting from the hands of God. Our lives, any problem we have, we pray about it so that God can give us his solution. It may come as a simple word of wisdom. I told you, when I say word of wisdom, I don't mean supernatural, I perceive that one. There are times for it. Amen? But there are times that it doesn't come, I perceive. A man just come and say, oh boy, this is what the problem with this thing is. A lot of people are sick. They are confessing. And God says, you know the problem? There's something you're supposed to be eating, you're not eating. Or there's something you're eating, you're not supposed to be eating. That is, this prayer is not necessary. That is, this prayer is good in that you download solution. Alright? But just do what I'm saying and the problem is gone. You know, a lot of the problems amongst, especially Africans, is nutritional. Not just Africans. I withdraw it. The whole world. There are two kinds of nutritional problems. There's too much and there's too little. Both of them are a problem. You don't see food chop, you are too thin. An issue. Too much food. You chop on too much, you are too fat. Another set of issues. Please, I hope you're following the principle. Now, a lot of the problems worldwide today is useless diet. Now, this is a problem I have with Christians sometimes, you know, ministers. They now put diet in the center of everything they are doing. I didn't say so. Did I say so? I didn't say you should do that. I'm just saying, when you pray about everything that's in your life, sometimes just little wisdom that God said, this, you shouldn't be eating things like this. It's not good for you. Somebody just says, ah, so I'm always having this problem. Do you eat this thing a lot? I do. You eat it a lot. You shouldn't be eating it a lot. It's not good for you. Then you stop eating, then your problems vanish. That's what I mean when I say one of the greatest ways by which God solves problems for people is that He gives them wisdom. When I was getting married that time, there was a time I needed money. I don't know whether I've given you the testimony. Yes, I've given the testimony. If I needed money, plenty of it. Ah! I don't exhaust everything. And you know, last time I was talking about worry, right? That's why I told you then that I wake up, instead of sleeping, I think I'm not worried though, but I'm planning. I'm not worried, I'm just planning. So one of those days, I discovered this is a sign of worry. Actually, my wife came to see me, and I was sharing the word of God with her, you know. First from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It said, instruct those that are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but instruct them to be generous. You understand? To be ready to share and all of that. This is summary. Let them give. Let them be free givers. All right? I finished preaching it. And I was preaching to somebody. I was explaining to her that, you see, this is a problem. And I said, one of the signs that you're worried, you're not walking in faith, is lack of generosity. Because in that 1 Timothy chapter 6, read from verse 17, you will hear what Paul was saying to Timothy. Now, what do you do, Timothy? Tell them that if you are rich, all right, don't put your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but put your faith in God, who gives us all things to be to enjoy. He said, instruct them to be generous, to be rich in good works, to be ready to share. I said, listen, what he was saying in effect is that if a man is not generous, if he's not rich in good works, and he's not ready to share, it is because his faith is in riches. And the Bible says it is uncertain. I finished preaching it to the woman where I was about to marry in a few weeks. I discovered that I was preaching to myself. Why? Because over the last few weeks and months that we've been preparing, every bit of naira and kobo I got was going towards this matter. I was not generous. I was not able to share. I don't want to use the word they deserve. Able was what I said. As soon as I finished preaching it, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, you hear so? Do you know that the little money I had a friend who was wedding a week before. We wedded on the 11th. He wedded on the 4th. A week before. Then I took some of the money. I went to him. I said, oh boy, I know you are spending, you know. This wedding thing is an issue. Take. Let me just support. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. We're in the same boat, earning the same salary, having similar problems, but I took from the uncertainty of riches. You understand what I'm saying? I took, but the Bible said that the son I have not worried, I took from it and gave him. I went to church the following Sunday. I put some money in the envelope. Ah, Augusta, this, you've been a blessing. I gave Pastor. I shared money around. I said, Lord, I do not trust in the uncertainty of riches. Now, I said, the greatest thing God gives is what? Wisdom. I went to my friend's office, John. We're planning, we're printing cards and doing programs. So we're just talking. Then the Holy Spirit came upon him and he began to prophesy. But he did not know he was prophesying. We're just talking. He said, oh boy. He go here, talk, go there. Say, look, if there's no money, there's no money. You know, there's a way he spoke that day. It suddenly dawned on me that if you don't have this money, what will happen? I don't know how to explain it. Suddenly the Holy Spirit made it clear you don't need it. So I took a piece of paper. Somebody say, wisdom from above. I wrote a letter to my parents-in-law. And I gave it to my wife to give them. And she said, she's not going to deliver it. I said, it's not your letter. It's my own. And you will deliver it by force. It was, everybody say, wisdom from above. You know what was inside the letter? I wrote simply to my parents and Lord, I don't have money again. I said, I'm financially exhausted. Those are my words. I said, the money I've spent is a lot. It may not appear like much, but Bishop Oyedepo said, I wrote it like that. Men are in sizes. Life is in phases, and men are in sizes. According to my size, I don't try. My wife said, nah, no, I said, listen, my friend, no cause quarrel. Till today, we never talked about it. It's almost 13 years after, we never talked about it. I dispatched the letter, and I left the matter there. And listen, I had peace of mind. That is, what God gave me was wisdom. And he sent his spirit ahead to go and ease everything. Listen, you know, I don't get. What am I going to do? They have been saying in my part of the country. He said, the money that's not there, an enforcer can't collect it. They said, I go beat it to death. Eh? If you can sell the cup, sell it. They're not as good. What I'm not remembering is what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Hey, look, I believe that people don't pray enough about their problems. They don't pray enough about their challenges. They don't pray enough about the things that are disturbing them. They think too much about it. I believe, a lot of us don't pray. We want a job, we want something. We really don't pray about it. We grumble about it, we complain about it. We don't. If we seriously, listen, one of the problems when it comes, the thing I actually wanted to say today, I've not gotten into it. I just hope I remember so I don't forget. Now, one of the issues with God answering prayers is this. And let's get it clear. God does not always give us what we want. He will always give us what we need. There is a time will come when he will give you anything you want. There are phases in life. There's a phase in which, listen, think about it. My children don't get everything they want. Do you understand that? But I get everything I want. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, if it's within my financial capabilities, I get everything I want. If it's within my financial capabilities, but my children don't get everything that they want within my financial capabilities. I can afford it, but they're not getting it. It's a phase in life. And that's what God does. Sometimes, in a particular phase in life, many of the things you want, he won't give you. But one thing he will always give is that which you need. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you pray about something. Like that time, taking my own as an example now. I thought I needed what? Money. And I prayed about it. And as long as I was struggling, before I prayed about it, as long as I was struggling towards it, all right, with all my own resources, it was a distress. I was in distress. It was difficult. But the moment the word of the Lord came unto me through my own mouth saying, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17, when I understood it, all right, I flowed with it. Then I discovered that money was not what I needed. After all, part of our problem, caused by the maturity of my wife also that time, she has grown some, amen? Has she not grown some? 13 years, you don't grow now. She wanted to impress her parents. That's part of it. Yes, she doesn't want anybody to just abuse her husband at all. But what's wrong with abusing me? You abuse me for 1 week, no be so. You can abuse me if you want, insult me. I won't answer you back. You're a parent. Then in life, when God has blessed me, abuse me again. You'll no go fit. After all, I was not planning to die that time. You know, it's good to be insulted at the time. And now when you're now praying, you say, praise the Lord. It was in the center of the road there that I was insulted that day. Praise God. This is 15 years after. You have prospered. You have been blessed. Now you cannot stand in the center of the road there and be slapping everybody if you wish. And nothing will happen. You won't do that. I'm not going to say, Joseph. If Joseph wanted Mrs. Potiphar, he could not collect her then. And nothing will happen. She'd be the disturbance. Say, you tried it. I didn't. Okay, now I'm prime minister. Go and bring me Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. You know, in Egypt, they will have done it. What I'm going to say is that. So life is in phases. So I thought I needed something. God said, that's what you want. What you need is to remove the pride of life. And when the wisdom of God came, it removed the pride of life. A lot of people, they are applying to wear these days. You know why they are having this stress? The gown that Amaka used has not left their minds. Let me tell you how life is. Don't worry about your gown. Your gown is your mother's gown. Amen? Any gown you are wearing now is your mother's own. The day you will wear your own gown is when your daughter is wedding. I pray you get that revelation. Your wedding now doesn't say anything about what you can do. When you want to know what you can do, it's when your own children are wedding. That's when we will know what you can do. This year, don't worry. What is all this struggling? Young man, don't worry. Don't worry. Show off. Give us another 20, 23 years. Then you show off that time. Right now, just endure. Must you buy a new coat for the wedding? I'll borrow one. The jacket, they don't use, do they even say, with this jacket, I deal with? No, have you ever seen it before? With this suit, I deal with. And when with this belt, no, there's nothing like that. Even the ring that they use, I've seen men borrow it. I'm not joking. Look, inside church, where are the rings? Guys, they will come out ring for a finger like this. Quickly pass it. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen guys wedding that guys go on top of Okada. They are coming from main market where they have gone to buy a ring for 200 naira. How much did I say? I just added that 200. The thing was 20 naira. The story I'm telling you. Don't worry. God will bless you. Is that your name? Amen. And then when your daughter wants to wed or your son wants to marry, you now go and go to, is it Paris or whatever, and tell them, design that ring and you pay $5,000 for it. That's when you are really wedding. I first heard that from a woman. I read it somewhere. One girl was trying to, she was praying her wedding. And the mother was interfering. So the girl got angry. So the mother, please, this is my wedding. The mother said, no, this is not your wedding. This is my wedding. My own. He said, what about yours? That was my mother's wedding. You have your wedding when your old daughter is getting married. Let me do my wedding. Are you getting my point? And I said, sometimes what we need is what? Wisdom. God just said all this year. Look, listen. I look back. I did not need the shirt I used for my wedding was not necessary. I had a shirt I could have used, but they just deceived me that I had to buy a new shirt. That's true. If you can't buy a suit, just look for one Broadway, get plenty suit, way now your size. So boy, I beg, now just for one day. After all these days, don't girls hire gowns? Do you know when I was wedding, I don't know what my wife will remember, I used to say that, why can't they hire these things? We used to have a, I said, why can't this thing be hired? When the people refused to hire gowns that time, they will sew gown. I tell you the cost of the gown where my wife wear. In fact, it's embarrassing now in retrospect. How money will have done the will of God in other things? Listen, oh boy, if you, I like something about suit, you don't need to hire it. You borrow it. Yeah, you borrow it. Why hire a suit? And you know, sometimes some of these brands are so generous. They say, oh, you don't have a suit for your wedding. Oh, they'll just give you that one. So after the wedding, you don't acquire one extra suit. Praise God. What I'm going to emphasize is the fact that a lot of times, what God gives us actually is what we what need. And sometimes what he's saying is that what you need is wisdom. So sometimes we think he's not answering prayers. He is. It's just that the wisdom that is the answer to that problem, you are refusing it because your eyes are fixated on one thing, what you want, what you think is the solution. You are leaning on your own understanding. One day, a young man came to an office where I was. And you know, as you grow in life, especially as a believer, you get to learn a lot of things. I was in an office once. They spoke mostly in Igbo. I was speaking with one of my colleagues. He and the young man that came to see him, they were speaking in Igbo. But you know the way it is. You know some Igbo words, you know, and then they mix it with English. So I was following what they were saying. I knew what they were talking about. So after the young man left, so I wanted to interject and tell the young man, look, you don't need this thing. But I said, let me not prolong the gist. I kept quiet. The young man came to meet this other man, the older man that pleased her. I'm a musician. The guy is a musician. He released an album, and he wanted to sell it. But somebody said that he should do a video. Somebody offered him, he claimed, 300,000 naira for it, or 600, I can't remember. But he said that if they did a video, they could sell it for hire or make more money from the album. It does Christian music. And so he now was now going around looking for money to popularize the album, you know, to do the video and then get the album, you know, popular and all of that. Now, he came, spoke to the man. The man talked to him extensively. Summary of it is that there's no money for you. But when they were speaking, I was hearing, you know, you hear some things in English, some in Igbo, then you hear some Igbo words, which you know, I mean, if you hear could, even Hausa man knows, if you hear Igbo, even Hausa man knows what Igbo is, praise the Lord. Uh-huh. So I would just hear talk. At the end of the day, he now even gave me a summary of what the young man said. I said, when you guys were talking, I wanted to tell the guy, this is a problem in life. Most of the problems people claim money is what they lack is wisdom. What they lack is what? Wisdom. I had the wisdom for him immediately. I said, listen, there's no shortcut to greatness. You do that video, it can bump. You know when something bumps? That is, it does badly. In fact, that guy even told him that, look, which video do you want to do? It's not this annoying video we see on television with people just, you know, dancing like this. The guy told him straight, what nonsense video is that? Now, I had a little wisdom for him. Let me give you the kind of thing I wanted to tell him. Listen, you're a Christian. You're a young man. Is your music really good? If it is really good, all right, why don't you start entertaining people during weddings? Just start with that. Have a small band. No matter the little amount of money they pay you, it will feed and clothe you and house you for the weekend and for the week till the next wedding. I had little wisdom like that for him. That listen, stop. Take your eyes away from Two-Face. Take your eyes away from what one of these twins? P-Square. Take your eyes away from them for once, and just see how your gift can bless people. If you focus on that, you'll be amazed at how much opportunities you will have to be a blessing to people. I say, when you finish, slip in somewhere. You know, you just say simply say, okay, that music, if you really like it, or sing popular songs and everything, then add your own into it and have your album somewhere for sale outside. If it's really that good, the first one they buy, they've gotten to know you. Anyway, let me not go give you details of the wisdom I'm trying to talk about. The guy was going around begging for money. Let me tell you something. The easier you find begging for money to be, the harder wisdom is for you. What I've told you is the truth. The man who finds it easy to discuss, you know, beg me, give me money, now give me money, give me money. All right? That's a man that finds it harder to download wisdom. I told you before about ministry. If you come into ministry a rich man, you are going to waste a lot of money. I was with somebody once, I think I told you the story before. In a few days, they spent 3 million naira doing, you know, studio. All right? And I laughed because when, for all the things you see us do here, those two cameras, all right, plus all the lights, it didn't cost us up to 1/3 of that. What's the difference? They had the money, we didn't have it. That's the difference. So when it came to buying cameras, we bought cameras that were not difficult to light because there are different kinds of cameras. There are cameras that they give very high quality images, but you need intense light to bring out that quality. Do you understand my point? All right. So when we're choosing cameras, we chose cameras that are very sensitive to light. And give it when NTA, I told NTA the camera we're using, NTA no good. They said that's what we use also. I did not know that NTA was using that, but we bought it. Why? We didn't have the money. When they said to buy red light, what they call red light, if you buy the Nalaba, it was 300,000 naira for one. I said, guys, let's go to Kenyatta. We arranged our lights for 6,000 naira for two. That is, when you didn't have plenty of cash to throw around, you had to download wisdom. Download it by force. If any man lacks wisdom, God, can't you see, we lack both wisdom and money. Combine. Look. By the time people saw us on TV, we may not be at that top level yet, but people are getting blessed all over Africa and beyond. People are getting blessed all over Africa and beyond. There are people who spend more money. In fact, you know, sometimes I go to churches and all of that. you see equipment, mixer, you see the amplifier. They say, please, can I get a cassette? No, one of the messages, give me, you can't hear anything. Ha! See, all these equipments, what did they take and record? When we started on Cosmo, go and get those messages, creating the opportunities for prosperity, all those. Listen, those things were recorded with one microphone and a Dell C600 Latitude. No amplifier. That is, the way noise is disturbing us in this place still, now that's how noise is disturbing us there. We'll pause, the noise will pass, we'll continue the recording. I learned how to do noise reduction. I learned how to master audio. I met one brother that time and said, please, I heard you have an audio editing software. He was talking long grammar. I went to Gil Online, downloaded a free software which we use till today. That free software, they have upgraded at least 5 times. The upgrades for us are not as good as the original. We use it till today that we are talking. Listen, the first day I took our city to Cosmo FM, they listened to it and said that this is better than most things we get from Lagos. I started teaching. You see, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. I started teaching many ministers how to do ministry without too much money. As it means, I said that they want to go and book studio time. I said, what are you booking studio time for? You not get sitting room time. You not get church office time. You lock your doors in your church office. You need a... if you say, original Shure handheld with cable. Because the money was not plenty, the wisdom had to be plenty. People who have too much money, I see them just waste money. Say, oh, go and buy sound compressor. Go and buy it. And see the price of sound compressor. Then I said, this sound compressor is not compatible with this level of amplifier. Then they are back to go and buy a good level amplifier. He said, no, this must have a noise gate. Because this level of compression with this level of amplification must have a gate. Then I said, oh, Pastor Bank, how are you doing it? I said, I have this computer and this microphone. No, I'm going to tell you. In life, poverty is good for you. Did I hear an amen? You are afraid to say amen. Okay, I'll say it for you. Yeah, here's a stage. You go, right now, I'm not kidding. Right now, if you give Kingdom Word millions of naira now, all right? I can guarantee you one thing, we won't waste a dime. No, we won't waste a dime. There's nothing I'm going to buy that's frivolous. And you bring me a camera, I will look at the camera. What can it do? What can it do that this one can't do? By the time you give, you know, a lot of people who are fooled locally, it's ignorance. Listen, by the time you are talking, I say, okay, what kind of color, I forgot what they call it now, is it CMOS or 3CCD? You hear me speaking English, Pastor Bank, you know that one, sit down there. When you don't have money, there are a lot of things you know. There are a lot of things you know when you don't have money. Before you buy one camera, you know the research where one day I was browsing to went to buy cameras. I opened one website, I quickly closed it. You know why? It was Panasonic. The camera was $50,000. I quickly closed it. That is, lest I look at it a second time and be tempted and fall into iniquity. I quickly closed it. $50,000 for one camera. Respect those CNN people. Where is those cameras? They are not cheap. Now, whole motor car, they shoulder so. Luxury car on their shoulder. We'll sit down, analyze the whole thing. Finally, when we settled for our first camera, we paid $2,500 and got small change. That's like when I say poverty is good for you. That's what I mean. You will learn to manage money before you become rich, lest you waste the money when you are rich. You are getting the logic. That's what I mean when I say poverty is good for you. In a season, if you give me now, say, Pastor Bank, I heard you guys are doing a lot of work. Here is 50 million naira for outreach. I won't waste a dime. Are you getting my point? I won't waste a dime. If I won't, look, I know how I'll invest the money
to make the outreach cover literally the whole world. On that 50 million for the next few years, we have not finished spending it. We are covering the world. I know what to do. Listen, we broadcast on NTA here. After 1 month, I checked the cost we're paying after 1 quarter. I realized that to cover Africa, I paid less than covering Enugu district on NTA. I pulled out of NTA fast. I found that Omega Channel was giving us about 60% for the same airtime and giving us a free airtime on top of it. And then what I will pay NTA for 30 minutes, I will pay to Omega Channel and they will collect only 60% of it and then give me free time. I said, what? I'm talking plenty. Anyway, we're just using it, man. Today is just a matter of wisdom. One day, one brother came to preach in Enugu here. He's a pastor in Abuja. He was about to pay a Nigerian TV station that covered Abuja and that area. Listen to me. Something between 215 and 230,000 for 30 minutes. That is, each time they show him, he will pay about 220,000 naira for a 30-minute program. He was about to sign the contract. He had gone to see them the afternoon when he would do recording, how they would do, they've done everything, and just to go sign and pay. Then he came to preach in Enugu. I recognized him. I said, I knew this guy before. You understand? So when he came, went and we gisted, you know, how's ministry? We talk, I'm broadcasting. He asked, when he told me, I said, please excuse me, sir. Let me get something clear. Are you starting a church in Abuja that you want to advertise? You understand my point? There's nothing evil about it. If you want to do it, fine. Are you starting a church in Abuja you want to advertise? He said, no. You're just running, just like Kingdom World is now. We're not trying to start a church. You just want to bless people. He said, yes. I said, so what? Why will you pay 200 and something thousand naira for a quarter? For broadcast. That is, in a quarter of 13 episodes, multiply 220,000 by 13. Can you imagine it? You're talking like 3 million naira. So I said, okay, let me tell you something. I said, I'm on Omega Channel. They don't cover Abuja. They cover more than Abuja. They cover the whole of sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Eastern Europe. He said, it's not every household that's watching it. It's every household that's watching his own. Listen, I've told you before, from all over East and Southern Africa, I've gotten calls from people who knew me those days, who saw me on TV, they were in Kenya. They remember that they had my number. They put a call through to me immediately. They said, oh boy, I'm watching you here on TV in Kenya. I was in Nigeria. I told the guy, I said, oh boy, come, listen to me. You will pay, at that time, Omega Channel is not even considered cheap. But you will pay $175 for that 30 minutes and you will cover the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. Omega is getting popular every day. I said, if you want to cover even that, there are set of this where you can take two. I gave another one that's even cheaper. And I said, on top of that, if you want those who watch DSTV, which is more popular, you understand, than terrestrial channels today, especially in an area like Abuja, I said, I gave him the calculation of everything. The guy realized that he would be on DSTV, be on free to air, be on three TV stations for much more time than he was getting and would be spending about the same amount of money. You know what he said? Thank God I came to Enugu. Hey, look, that's why. If you find it so easy to say, okay, these are my plans, bring money, everybody, money. Listen, the easier the money comes, the more difficult for wisdom to come. Wisdom must come first before money. And the beauty about difficult times is that is when you connect serious wisdom. To cool this kind of place that we are meeting now, if we came with 10 million naira, you know, say two industrial ACs now we put here and there. Everybody, look, but I learned long ago that the easiest way to triple the efficiency of your air conditioner is to add a fan. Yeah. I learned that in the midst of poverty. Somebody say poverty. Yeah, thank you. Poverty, according to Bishop. So that now when I have money to buy ACs everywhere, I am three times more efficient than those who have the same number, the same amount of money for the same number of ACs. I'm three times more efficient. They said, okay, I said, you put three. I said, what are you putting 3 horsepower there for? Put 1 horsepower. Put a nice, solid Panasonic or KDK standing fan. Let it just rotate. Make sure it has gold on the edges so as to add to the aesthetics of the environment. That instantly cuts down the amount of diesel. Yes? This one that PHCN is hiking and hiking prices, it cuts down the amount of money you pay to PHCN. Look, that is wisdom that's not available to those who started rich. You will learn some wisdoms in the midst of poverty. That's true. It will come in handy one day. Even when you have become rich, listen, it just means that if God gives you 10 million naira, everybody will think God gave you 30 million. And believe me, in my life, God has been very, very kind to me. Very kind. On the average, I've been less broke than most of my mates, financial mates. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because one of the things I learned, one of the wisdom God gave me early in life, and faith for us is real. Do you understand my point? Say faith is real. We're not fooling ourselves. Faith is real. One of the reasons why I didn't used to have financial distress was that I learned that life is in phases and men are in sizes. People say, as a doctor, you should be driving a car. I said, why didn't they issue a car with the certificate? There's nothing about your profession and car. It's about money. Man will not go to school. If he has money, he can buy it. So, those days, I trekked joyfully. I trekked in the Lord. It's true. I used to trek in the Lord. Enter Okada by faith. Come down from boss by prophecy. I still remember. You know, those you go and take public transport, go from Akure to Lagos. You know, those kind of. It's like, shift. Before I used to vex, how can you talk to me like that? After a while. And they talk, you know, misbehave. Come and pay for this bag. You have a small handbag. They say, pay for the bag. After a while, I start getting angry. As I said, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of what? Time. Of course, the time came. In fact, my mother was laughing. One day I was going home. I didn't go with my car. So I was supposed to take a bus from one place and get down home. I waited on the bus for a while. So it just dawned on me that, what am I doing here? I came down. I called the taxi. Hey, come. Do you go do this route? How many people do you carry? He said 5. I said, okay. How much per person? I paid him. Yeah, let's start going. So when I go home, I told my mother, they were just wasting my time. I said, hey, that's how you people, young people behave. I said, what do you mean young people behave? You want me to be staying beside the road waiting for vehicle to fill up? No, that time has passed. It has passed. Last time my wife and I were coming from Bobudu. One vehicle took us to, Boku. I got to the park. How many people do you carry? The guy told me, I said, okay, total the amount of money I paid. Yeah, let's start going. That is the time now. Amen? Amen. That was the only way I could do that route. But those days, I would sit down in patience and long suffering. In patience and what? Long suffering. What am I going to say? I understood that it was what? A season. We're supposed to go and preach somewhere. The people were trying to explain to us that, they can't afford, flight for all of us. I said, Olainka, tell them to pay whatever they can. But I'm not trekking to Abuja. There's opportunity for ministry. We will go. People can't afford the flight, but I am not trekking to Abuja. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is what it means to go by Autostar. You're calling Autostar trekking? Yes. It's not 9 hours. How many hours is it? Six. I don't care. At least I'm going to be on the road for this. I'm not going. Tell the guy whether you guys can pay for it or not. I can pay my way to Abuja by air. Amen? Say season. Say season. So those days, I didn't go near airport because I couldn't afford the flight ticket. I entered. This one you're saying that trekking to Abuja, I just, it's level. Amen? There was a time it was rejoicing. You prophesied that seat. Father God, I have that first seat in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody will sit beside me that's too fat. You know, you'll be prophesying. But now we think of me. No, I'm going to say, at that time, that's my emphasis. I was not in distress. My wife said, I used to wear only white shirt. Tell your neighbor, that was wisdom. Have you ever seen a fitted white shirt? When you buy a good white shirt, you starch it. It stands, you're always looking godly and rich. It was wisdom. You have only one suit. You are going to buy blue suit. That's a light blue suit. And it's only one you have. You don't want allowing the young women to be laughing at you. Go and buy black. Praise the Lord. You're an Anglican reverend. Black suit, that's all. No, say you're a clergyman. That's all. It's always black. You say a man wants to buy only one white suit. He's buying light ash, white. Just, have you seen Pastor, let's assume his name is Pastor Obanga. Have you seen Pastor Obanga? Yes. How did you know he's one? Ah, didn't you see the white suit? I hope you're following what I'm saying. God gave me that wisdom long ago. And hey, I'm talking plenty. Let me just finish my talk. Another wisdom God gave me, I did not use to pretend. Because I want to marry you, I won't buy something for you I'm not used to buying, that I can't afford. I will not. I won't go and wear a new shirt because I'm coming to your house. I wear a regular shirt. I like to say to young people, I keep on saying this so that young people will learn it. We'll be pretending. You have never seen an airport. You are using style to pretend as if last time you were during the Olympics, during the opening ceremony. You watched this thing on MTA, not even DSTV. What's all the pretense about? Using style to form. Say wisdom. One of the wisdom God Lord gave me was, oh boy, easy. Take it easy. Be open. Don't pretend for anybody. Some of our prayer points is we are asking God, support my pretense. Support my deception. Support my self-delusion. Support my problem I've created for myself. People say, you want to get married. You know, you should have a car. I said, wait. When I proposed, I didn't ask the girl to marry me and the car. Marry me alone. And she didn't complain. What's your problem now, motor car? No, this was advice people gave me. You have to try now. You know you're planning to get married. Try and put money together and buy a car. I said, why? The young woman, she come to complain to you that, can you imagine, bank is not trying to buy a car. I don't know why I went this way today. I was just trying to explain the principle. All right? About wisdom. About God giving us the things that we need. A lot of times, that's all we need. It doesn't always furnish for us at that time what we want. No, this is just a joke. I told young people, if you stay on campus, even if they dash your expensive phone, frame it and keep it at home. Yes. Tell any small boys on campus or small girls. You don't need. What do you need it for? The cheaper the Nokia, the more righteous it is for a student. Especially when it has two SIM cards inside. Like I was saying to you, I knew that these things were. God gave me that revelation. I don't know how he did, but I know how he did. It was by the word I was hearing. You understand my point? I was so taught, I understood that I won't be poor forever. They have a saying in Yoruba land. Let me give it to you again. It said, the child that doesn't die must become an adult. It's a proverb. They said, if a child doesn't die, he must become an adult. So I keep on telling Christians, I don't know about unbelievers, but I'm telling you as a child of God, just don't die, you will be rich in life. Just don't die, you will have more than you ever dreamt you wanted. Yes. Don't die physically, don't die face-wise. Don't backslide into anything. Let me tell you, your children will come after school one day, long back. Say, daddy, 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 mommy, we're not staying in Nigeria this holiday. We're not staying. We're traveling. And you just say, okay. You just call somebody. Hey, come. Get all of them tickets. And you've not done anything. No. You continue your work. Let them even go. Let them travel. Bro. Let them stop disturbing me. I didn't hear the amen. And listen, no, it's not. You know, there are two ways you do such things. There's a way in which you do it. 6 months before that time, you'll be confessing. In the name of Jesus, flight ticket. I call you to be a kabosh, kabah, kabo, kebe, kebe, flight ticket. The airline shall carry. I buy it. You'll be drawing photograph of ticket. Tell your neighbor, poverty. If you have to do that, don't travel. If you must travel, swim across the Atlantic. Because you are not yet ready to buy that ticket. What I'm telling you will happen to you is not in the name of Jesus, I claim the ticket. No. In the name of Jesus, I sign the check because I can. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you another thing you will do. Your son will call you one day and say, Daddy, can Frank go with us? Who's Frank? His best friend in school. And all you will say is that, what did his father say? Well, Frank said, if you agree, we'll go and talk to his father. Okay, go and ask his father. If he agrees, let him get his passport on time. Let's send it in so they can give him a visa also. And it's not to be discussed with your wife in the evening. Honey, I don't know, these children. No. Later on, it's when you want to travel. Say, did I mention to you? Your wife said that there are 5 tickets. Oh, yes. You just mentioned your first son. Mike said that Frank is coming. What did the father say? The father said there's no problem. Okay, fine now. Let me say to you, it will happen one day.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, it will happen one day.
Amen.
Let me say to you one more time, it will happen to you one day.
Amen.
And when you're in the season where it is not happening yet, since you know it's going to happen, you're not under stress. You see what? That's why I used to laugh at women in those days. And they say, a woman, they do shakara because one guy is not rich. I say, kai, blindness. Ask my wife, it's not a lie. What I'm saying is not a lie. She looked at me one day and said, how come you are so full of yourself? She did not understand. I knew that if you marry me, you will be respected everywhere you go. That we will be pointing to you. One day my younger brother, Deji, was eating in a restaurant in Asaba. And we were coming. That's Pastor Banky's brother. They go and call each other. Come. That's Pastor Banky's brother. That's brother. How much my wife? I didn't know. He said that when I say man, pursuing woman. Pursue? Who? For what? You are running, run. Run, you have run away from bliss. That is, hey. I'm feeling sorry for you. Say, hey, poor girl. Blindness. If only she could understand the joy that he said before her. She'll have endured this cross. Believe it was wisdom that God gave me. So that's why I was hardly broker than was reasonable. You understand my point? Look, I wasn't buying anything. They pay small. They pay small on television. May it blow in Jesus' name. You play small on television. What are you watching? You should know that God doesn't want you to be wasting time. You should be reading your Bible. If you can't afford television, what do? You read your Bible. Thank God TVs are cheap these days. Those days, TVs are expensive. People will pay small because of television. When you can visit your friend when you want to watch news, go to a common room. There were many common rooms. People will be paying small because of TV. No, me, I'll go to a common room. So broke because of television, it never happened to me. It never happened to me. And as God is good, broke because of car never happened to me. When I had to buy one car and another, I could buy them. And God is good. That's her name.
Amen.
As you're operating by his wisdom, he's pouring grace after you. Yes. I always say, the time I bought my car, the car I still drive now, that's my Kia Optima. It was the second model of that car in Enugu. It was only one that I've seen. People say, it's because you had money. I'm talking about grace. You know why I bought that car? Because I didn't have money. I can't tell you the story now because it take a long time. Say grace.
Grace.
Then they say, man, this old guy don't say to. No. That car was because I did not have money. Let me just, in case you are wondering, The car I wanted to buy, the guy said, pay cash. I didn't have. One of my guys was with me. He said, Oga, we can help you buy a car. And this is what we charge. The interest was incredibly low. It's a cooperative, not a bank. Incredibly low. All you need to do is just pay us a fraction of it. Tell us how you want to pay the balance. Are you serious? Yes. I won't give you the details. That was where it began. To make it more interesting, I paid next to no interest on that loan. Next to no interest. You know why? Because something happened, he and I paid it back. And I paid him back. I don't know what I got on say. That is paying the people who purchased the car, all right? Both of us paid back. So that once the money was liquidated, I just had to give him money back. And his own, he wasn't charging any interest. Say grace. It was far away from my desires that time. The only way I could just get a car, which I needed badly, was that pay small money. Don't worry, my office will just bring the car and give it to you. And literally, they registered the car, to call me, say, come and pick it in Port Harcourt. I said, Ola Yenka, I'll move to the Port Harcourt. He said, Oga, no problem. Oh God, I hope you're blessed today, Sha. Let me just summarize what I'm ready to say. A lot of times in life, what we want, what we need is what? Wisdom. That's it. And I was testifying that God, one of the wisdoms he gave me is you don't need to be proud. You don't need to pretend. You don't need to move in before your time. You understand my point? Leave your size per time. Leave your size per time. That wedding of your dreams, you will still have it in life. You will still have it. You will marry now without having it though, but you will still have it. Let me tell you just quickly two ways you have it. I've told you one already. One is what? Your child's own. Your son is wedding. Nobody's giving you a house as a wedding present now. Don't worry. You will give them out of anger. Say, let me prove to houses that they can be used for wedding presents. Yes, you will do it one day. You will just look and say, we heard you are getting married. What do we give you now? Good enough. They just finished building that house and I don't like it. Good. Yeah? The keys. You know why you're doing it? You just want to go and tell weddings. Say, I use house for wedding present. And anything you can use for wedding present, you know it means you are far above it. Listen, your children will take it for granted. There's nothing like, hey, we're getting married now. In your time, your prayer will be that your children will still be serious even though they are rich. Yes. Because they know it's guaranteed. In fact, your children will be wed on time so they can collect their own house. So let's quickly marry. You know, daddy just finished the house. I like it. We'll get confused. Let's marry quick. I want to collect. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So if we understand that, whatever stage we are in life right now, it's easy to enjoy the wisdom that God brings in there. Sometimes we are looking for money. God says, you don't need money. Let me drop a word of wisdom for you. Sometimes you are looking for a job. God says, hey, you don't need this job. There is something I want you to do. Let me just drop wisdom into your soul. A time will come, people will be resigning jobs to come and work for you. Amen. And not you know, there's working for you by faith, but there's working for you because you pay better. It will happen to you. Let me end with it again. Tell your neighbor, just don't die. You understand what that means? He said, a child that does not die must surely become an adult. Once you don't die, you will become an adult. Financially, you will be an adult.
Amen.
Materially, you will be an adult.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. I went off the main thing I wanted to talk about, but maybe if we come back, I wanted to talk about learning and praying. Do you understand? That was what I came up here to speak about. I just said, let me revise what we said last time so as to connect it with today. But it went the way it did. So maybe if we come back next time, I'll go into it again, learning and praying. Because praying is not just the amount of time that we spend praying. It's what we have in mind when we are praying. Somebody can utter a word, just one word. After thinking, just say, in Jesus' name, it is done. And it's like a small prayer. Somebody is laboring the whole night. And it's not even as effective as the man who just said,
In Jesus' name it is done. Why? Because there's something inside. Daniel said it like this. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that will accomplish the desolation of Jerusalem. And then I began to pray. In summary, that is, without understanding, without learning, prayer is ineffective. That's what I want to talk about today. But next time we'll get back into it. All right? I just said let me just connect last week's, and that's why I just went this way. But don't forget that. That's what I want to talk about next time. Learning and praying. It's not just praying now and learning. There's something like that. But I'm talking about learning and praying. Learning will provoke you to prayer. Are you getting my point? Like now, last Saturday, I began to talk about understanding the prophetic. You know, today, I was thinking about it. Well, yesterday into today, I realized that even the Lord made it clear that the people of God, and we'll discuss maybe, well, either next Saturday or one of these days, that judgment, all right, must be decreed as it is written. No, it says that when thy judgment is upon the earth, the inhabitant learn righteousness. God said, listen, for that judgment to come, men must decree it. It's not every prayer. You know, you've heard me pray some wicked prayers. It's not because I'm a wicked man. It's because it's written in the scripture. I realize that it's not every time you pray nice prayers for people. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. What I'm talking about is that it's as we learn that we know what to say in prayer. And the more you learn, the more, let me put it like this. Initially, your prayer volume drops. Yes. Most of the praying Christians do these days is a celebration of ignorance. What did I say?
Celebration
of ignorance. I beat my chest to say that I'm not lying. 99% of all night prayers, people go there to go and display their ignorance. I'm not kidding. First thing learning does for you. It liberates you from a lot of time you spend praying prayers that don't have sense. The one that has brought you down, it starts taking you up again because you start understanding responsibility. There are times, God, like it happened to me some time ago, that's the time my wife traveled. You have to wake up and declare some serious matters about your life, about your wife, about your children again. Don't neglect to do it. You do it, sometimes you forget. After a while, you get woken up again. Yeah, start. Let's walk. At times you just sit down and you realize that, wait, how things are going on in the country. Don't comment, I told you. It's not because commentary is we punish you, but because you are neglecting your duty. You have a job to do. Understanding, learning puts a responsibility upon you and makes you more effective in prayer. That's what I want to talk about today, learning and praying. And that's why, listen, I said that Christians, they celebrate ignorance. You see, you've seen it now. There's no point calling names. We know it. Let's forget. I don't care how much number you gather. Once you gather about your enemies, you are a bunch of ignorant people. If you gather around witches, you are a bunch of ignorant people. If you gather around deliverance, ignorance is your personal problem. Yes. Tonight, all your enemies will scatter. When you start like that, I carry my Bible, I go home. They can scatter during the day. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll say to them, let me go and sleep. Yes. There are too many prayer points centered around enemies and people who don't like you. It's an African mythology. It's not reality. You think Samsung is loved by everybody? Right now, Apple and Samsung are in court. Despite the fact that Samsung is hated by Apple, they sell the greatest number of smartphones in the world today. He said he has anointed. He said, how do you say it again? In the presence of my enemies. He set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Despite that, though, they are there. My. I'm getting confused. He said, even for me, the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Yes. Even though the enemies are there. But you know, if it's not us, hey. The enemy that said I will not eat on this table. The enemy that said I will not eat on the table. You will summon salt. You will scatter as I'm eating. I told you about the ringtone I heard last time. Any person will carry your name go anywhere. He go carry and loss. I people would shout, amen. Whether you carry my name go somewhere, you lost, you not lost. What difference does it make to my life? According to Archbishop Benson Dausa, when you give the devil attention, he gives your life direction.
The devil is the controller of a lot of people's prayer point. Am I saying you don't have enemies? No. I'm just saying, what does it matter? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, what difference does it make? If you don't like me, it's your personal problem. I will still make progress. You don't like me, I will still live long. You don't like me, I will still succeed. You don't like me, I will still do the will of God on this earth. If you don't like me, my wife will still marry me. You don't like me, she will still have children. You should say this kind of thing when you get home. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, whether they like me or not, my wife will marry me, my husband will marry me, I'll be happy. In fact, it's good people don't like you. So when you're making progress, they get chest pain. The Lord is good. I'm going to say that, look, let's not give ourselves, you know, let's stop celebrating ignorance. Celebrating prayer about things that are not our problems. You know the funny thing I don't understand about people? A lot of people are shouting enemies. What makes me laugh about them? You said, why should somebody like you? You know, I told one of my friends once. He had a clinic, all right? He had a nurse that had a very sharp mouth. Her mouth was sharp. So he had a patient that was complaining about people are pursuing him, enemies, they want to kill him. And the nurse looked at the man one day. Are you married? The guy said, no. You have land? The guy said, no. Quizzed him a bit about his level of prosperity in life. It was quite low. So the woman said to him, do you know it's expensive to kill people? True gist, though. He said, the person who's killing you, what is he going to gain? Waste his money on you. Kill you for what? I beg, let I get up and make progress in life and stop blaming those who don't like. He told me that girl mouth sharp. Those who are, look, I mean, let's leave here, Jack. We have to go home. Let me stop keeping this meeting until very late. I mean, I want an enemy pursuing people. You think enemy self, they're stupid. Instead, they calculate. Today, my wife and I were talking, was it today or yesterday night, about one fellow who just made small progress. He's now talking to people who are 50,000 times better than him, said they were jealous of him. I don't know whether I get my point. The man bought his rickety old bus. He's telling people who buy cars brand new and give cars to people that they are jealous of him. Can you believe that? Of course, he took actions that sent him into real poverty. He said his boss, that person was working, was jealous of him. So the boss fired him. Then he saw poverty. Let's now see who's jealous of who. Instead of you to humblify yourself, there's humility. There's humbleness. There's humblification. You bring your head low properly. The Lord is good. What am I saying? In summary, don't worry yourself about people who don't like you. Some didn't like Jesus Christ. You understand my point? And no matter, look, the more you progress in life, the more the number of people that won't like you will increase. But that has not changed anything. This shouldn't be your prayer point. All right? So that's why I'm going to talk about learning and praying. We'll continue into that next time. The Lord is good. If you're blessed, they say amen.
Amen.
I just bow down here and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your wonderful works.